Chapter 3. At my own peril, I ask, is it warm or hot in here? Where are we at? Warm? If I cut on the fan but not anything else, is that okay? And by me, I mean someone else. How about we just stir the air? Is that okay? No? Okay, just stir the air. Is that okay? Is that all right with everybody? Please? Nobody cares? Everybody with me? All right, just a little bit. We're at the weird, you know, it's springtime. It's weird. So we've had the heat on. Proverbs chapter 3. If you're in the Old Testament, if you get to Psalms, if you get halfway in your Bible, just go a little bit to the right there. You'll kind of get there pretty fast. Proverbs chapter number 3, and we're glad for that. I'm excited. I want to read the scripture here. I feel very much like I need to say this, but anyway, I don't know why. You ever had a kooky crazy morning? Anybody besides a preacher? You ever had just a weird one? Anybody? You ever had a morning where you know it happened, but you don't really believe it happened? Anybody besides me? A few of you? I mean, you're not gonna raise your hand anymore. What to say? I got free money up here, but you're still not gonna raise your hand. All right. I was a little under the weather Wednesday, and so I took some medicine, John. And the medicine does one thing to me, just I'm out. I'm out like that. Is everybody? And so I'd taken it, and then I took another dose to kind of go to bed, and I fell asleep. I fell asleep sitting straight up, and I didn't charge my phone. How many of you charge your, I know a few of you don't have to. You charge them every 2 weeks. But anyway, so I didn't charge my phone. So somewhere in the night, my phone goes, psht. And, it was a storm Thursday, apparently. Thursday night and the night. And so a door wasn't shut or something. I don't know the front door. But anyway, it set off the alarms. And I'm the person they call, except my phone wasn't working. And I was dead asleep. And so, anyway, so I get up the next morning and figure out I hadn't got that, so I charge it, and I try not to look at my phones anyway. So somewhere around 7:30, I decided to grab my phone, see if and I got alarm, 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 where the alarm companies tried to get me. And I'm panicking because I think, oh, no, they've ripped the TVs off the wall. How many of you bad news in the morning is not a good thing, right? And so I'm real groggy from the meds. I don't feel real well. And so, but I just, man, I get presentable and I take off over here, you know, which is nothing to fast to do at that time of the morning in Karn. So I drive through all the people and I'm angry and I get here and I get in and I open the door and they've cut off the phone. The company's cut off the alarm, but all the alarms are still going off. This door, this door, this door. And I'm going, and I get in here and I realize, you know, the cops would have come, but they couldn't get in the building. And all these alarms are still going off. They just cut the volume off of them. And I have busted in here at 7:45 in my flip-flops. I don't even have a pocket knife on me. Amen? And I'm in the building and I realize I've just locked myself in here with the Boston Strangler. So I start hollering, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, anything I can think of. I'm walking through here and checking the rooms, and I figure, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. I never thought I'd die in flip-flops. But anyway, I go through here, and I knocked down the spider web. That's what started all of it, I reckon, and then the storm blew. And anyway, so if you do read about the preacher getting killed here one morning, in a t-shirt, shorts, and a flip-flops, it's not because I was lazy. It's because I thought I was doing the right thing. In hindsight, if I hadn't been so medicated, I would have called the cops back and let them clear the building. But anyway, it was pretty funny. I was walking in here scared to death, and there's cameras in here, and so there's video of me. If you ever want to have some fun, there's video. We can pull it off there. If you just need something to laugh at, there's a video of me walking around like a Scooby-Doo cartoon, trying to sneak up on the bad guy. Once I realized I got in here and all those alarms were still going off, just the volume was off, and I'm going, I am a dumb man. I'm a dumb man. So that's how I spent about 7:45 to 8:30 on Thursday morning. And anyway, it's kind of, how many, some of you didn't even smile at that. There's nothing I can do this morning, is there? Nothing I can do. How many of you, that's a pretty fun, how many of you like to see me preach like that? Just want me to preach like that? Anyway, Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 1. You've been sitting a moment. If you're willing and able, stand. Let's read God's word and pay honor to it. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm not exaggerating either. That's pretty much what happened. And so, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "My son, forget not thy law, but let your heart keep my commandments." Verse 2. "Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Hide them about your neck," or "hide them upon the table of your heart." Take what I'm saying seriously. And he uses words, he uses expressions, he keeps repeating himself. Don't get away from these things. By the way, this is every parent, grandparent's heart. Don't ever get real far from the truth of God's word. He almost uses the terminology, he almost uses the tattoo kind of terminology here. Get them so impressed on you that they're just part of you. Write them this way, except he's not talking about a physical, fleshly writing. He's talking about on your inner being. Let this just be part of your DNA, verse 4. "So you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." If you'll follow what I've told you to do, God will be happy with you, and men will respect you. Let me help you. 99 years, Billy Graham lived, modeled best he knew how, integrity. When he messed up, he apologized and tried to make it right. And even unsaved people, by and large, have respected that. Why? Because he was faithful to God, and God gave him favor with man. I believe that's a wonderful testimony to the Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Verse 5 and 6 are a lot easier to say than they are to live out. How do I put God first? How do I in all my ways acknowledge him? Verse 8, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil." Most of us have problems with one end of that. We don't recognize the Lord, or we're not real happy about running from evil. We want to be with evil and coddle evil and hang out with evil, and we just don't want evil's consequences. Verse 8, "It'll be health to your navel, marrow to your bones." God's word is good for you physically. Verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your substance," your stuff, "with the first fruits of all your increase." Putting God first, honoring God, what God gives me. Verse 10, "So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses burst out with new wine." Use that agricultural language there. God says, I will just bless you. I will bless you when you put me first. God is faithful. God is faithful. Are we faithful? Can God count on us to be faithful? Pray with me one last time. Father, go up and down every aisle, speak to every heart. I pray I'd preach clearly. I pray to enunciate well. Pray to help me to focus, Lord. But I pray more than that, that the power of your word and the moving of your spirit will convict us and challenge us and draw us to you, Lord. Lord, I love you and I need you this morning. I ask you to help me right now. Preach your word. Holy Spirit, use me and fill me. I pray in Jesus' precious name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. I said last week, and well, we got it recording back there. I said last week, four truths about money. Four truths about money. I give them to you just by a simple way of review here. Number one, we said that our Heavenly Father has allowed us to have whatever we have, we possess. If you don't believe that, you don't understand the Scripture, and you don't understand life. It takes a spark. It takes a faulty wire and ability. It takes a puff of wind off of a storm. Excuse me. It takes the earth settling underneath of where you are. Some of you lived in Florida. Just for no good reason, a sinkhole opens up and swallows buildings and swallows things. God has allowed us to have anything we possess. And when I start living and acting that way, it changes things. It changes things. And so, number one, that God has done this. Number two, we got to start recognizing that everything we have, everything we possess comes from him. All the stuff we like, all the stuff we don't like, everything we have, everything we possess comes from him. All our phones, all our digital things, all our non-digital things, all the stuff that's in a box, we don't have any idea what it is. All that stuff, everything we have comes from him. Number one, we recognize that God's the source. He's allowed us to have. Everything, all the money, all the stuff that we have. Number two, that everything we possess comes from him. God is the author of wealth. God is the author of those things. Say, I'm not real wealthy. That's just a comparison problem that you and I have. You travel somewhere else, you can travel to parts of the United States, and you realize just how rich we are. I've just lamented just about the families connected with our church, and just, you know, we don't have anything to wear. I mean, we say that, we mean we don't have anything we want to wear. It says we don't have anything to wear. And it's a reality. We understand that everything we possess comes from, number three, God could give us a bunch or God could give us a little. One of the wealthiest men I ever knew, he said it to me personally. I heard him say it publicly. He said, I believe God's entrusted me, or God has given me exactly what he can trust me with, and not a penny more. He said, and a good day in my life was when I learned to say, God, if it's going to ruin me, you take it from me. God's given us, he gives us a little or a lot more. How many of you believe God's not struggling for stuff? He's not struggling for possessions. He's not struggling. God owns the cattle on a thousand. He owns the wealth in every mine. And we hear that. We see that. We sing that old song. We say that way. But that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. God could do that. We said there's a fourth truth there. We said God could take from us some or all that we have. God could take from us. Job said the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we look at this. We do Financial Peace Universe. We've done it a few times here. We've talked through it 8 or 9 times as a couple. And I love when Dave Ramsey gives his testimony. Some of you listen to him on the radio. I know he comes on a couple of stations around here. And Ramsey talks about how he made a million, then he lost more than a million. Then he made another million, and then he lost more than a million. He said, I was just terrible with money. He said, but in all that, he said, it was God's to give me and God's to take away. He said, and it's that way now. It's God's give me and God's take away. God could do this. God has allowed these things to come in our heart and our lives, and so God could use it. Now, in light of all that, we're talking about generosity. We're talking about being a good steward. We're talking about God's faithfulness and our faithfulness back to Him. And I suggested to you that it's a matter of trust. It's a matter of trust. I said to do this, we've got to answer two questions. Number one, do I trust God and can God trust me? Do I trust God and can God trust me? And I suggested to you that maybe the simplest way to look at that is a little bit of an acrostic there. And so I threw out to you last week, trust. I suggested that we all need to take an inventory. We all need to take an inventory. Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Say, preacher, why in the world do you talk about this kind of thing? Because this is where we live. This is where we live. We live in between the Sundays. We live in between the services here. And this is real life. This is real life. You spend an hour and a half in the church building. Some of you that are able to be here more or dedicated to, or purpose to be here more, rather, excuse me. But you're here, but still, 3-4 hours a week at the most. We live most of our lives outside of this building and outside of this community of believers. Even when we do see each other more often than some, we do this. How do I live? How to live? How do I exhibit this trust in? Well, I think you start off, you take an inventory. Where am I at? Where am I honestly at? In the area of stewardship and management, I think some of that's pretty easy. Where's God at? Is he first place? Is he second place? Is he third place? Is he no place? So we take an inventory. When I take an inventory, recognize that God's my source. Matthew chapter 6. We can't even say what's God said. We can't add a single moment to our life without God being the source. Matthew chapter 5, we can't change our hair or add to our hair anything without God being the source. James 4:14, we shouldn't even say what I'll do tomorrow, because God is that source. God is our source. Deuteronomy 8:18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. God is our source. So recognize God as my source. Let me help you here in your job searches and all those kind of things. This is God's doing. Recognize God as my source. And let me help you. God's not going to lead you somewhere that's going to keep you out of his will. You tell teenagers this all the time. God's not going to lead you somewhere to get you out of his will. If you believe that God has got the power to do everything and handle everything, then God's not going to lead you somewhere that's going to keep you away from him and keep you away from his word and keep you out of his house and keep you all those things. Letter U there. I said you need to understand God's principles. You need to understand God's principles. John Maxwell in his little book on giving. He says there are three reasons that we have where people don't give more to God. There are three reasons people don't give more to God. He says, number one, says they don't think they can give and meet their own needs. They don't think they can give and meet their own needs. Well, preacher, if I give, now let me get real plain here, and I'm still just a little medicated, so if I really upset you, blame it on the medicine. Not deal? Deal? Some of you are not listening. You're already asleep. You deal? So I can't, man, if I give, I can't meet my own needs. Can't meet my own needs. If I do this, we talk about resources and finances and all these kind of things. And this is a feel. This is a fear. And this is a feeling. Sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's an excuse here. Sometimes an excuse. I want you to get the principle there. God says, put me first and I will take care of you. I suggest to you, it is not a matter of finances. It is a matter of faith. It is not a matter of a spreadsheet. It is a matter of trust. They say, I can't give. Can't give because I can't make my own needs meet. Number two, they don't know how to give. They don't know how to give. Never thought about it. Never thought about it. Never thought much about it. Never thought about much about being involved and plugged in. Some of you, I watched the motors turning your head a minute ago. I was talking about replacing ceiling tile and stuff, and some of you are going, man, I can do this. I can do this. Brother Clunch already told me when I'm ready to do this, he'll be ready to help me. Ready to help me. I can't do some things, but I can do this, man. That excites me. That excites me. Brother Weiniger, when we do some canvassing and all, Brother Weiniger drives the getaway car. He's glad to have somebody stick their head out the window and let everybody feed the mailboxes and all and do that. I can't do some things, but I can do that. I can give. And so some of you just never thought about how you get plugged in. Never thought about how you plugged in. Never thought about, man, you know what? I'm gonna set a budget. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to come in ready to give. I'm going to come in ready with my card. I'm going to come in ready to pop on the phone and do this. I'm planning to give. Never thought about something like this. Some of you go, man, I can't do some things. The preacher said the weeds need to be weeds. The weeds need to be bedded. The beds need to be weeded. I can do that. I can pull some weeds. I can do those kind of things. And so we think about this. They don't plan. They don't know how to give, and they don't plan. They don't plan to give. Number three, people don't give. John Maxwell says because they don't plan to give. They don't plan to give. They never think about it. Never think about it. Dave Ramsey gives us a little idea. He says, approximately how often does Christmas come around? Anybody? Does anybody know when Christmas comes? You know, once a year. Pay for it usually at about May or June, right? But anyway, Christmas comes what? Once a year. Does it usually come on the same day? Anybody? Same date. Thank you. Date. Yeah, all the lawyers in here got me. Sorry. December 25th, right? December 25th. Nod your head if you believe it comes on December 25th. Some of you are going, well, Christmas, you know, okay. He said, but it's amazing how many people are just surprised they can be, amen? It's here. Ah! He said, I met a guy, he said he put money back in January and February and March and April and all, a little bit along. We've got a couple of people in church. I know you do that. You've told me to do that. You got money sitting there in June. You find a good deal. You go ahead and buy it. Said, your problem is trying to remember that you got a present come November. And you're there. And he said, why are we like that? Why do we look at people like they're just amazing if they stick money back for Christmas? He said, because they plan. They plan. They plan to do it. We get paid weekly or monthly or semi-weekly or whatever it is. We planned it. We got a plan. That's why some of you, man, you love the envelopes. You love the envelopes because it gives you a little thing to remind you and you can do that. And you love the plan. You love the plan. We can trust Him. We understand God's principles. We can surrender everything to Him. We mentioned this last week. Excuse me. And then we can try God. We can prove God. We surrender everything to Him. We said trust. And then we can test, try, prove God's promises. I want to offer you just a couple real fast this morning. I want to offer you just a few principles that will help you. And here's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to some people that are unconvinced. Giving's for other people. Giving's for people who make a lot of money. Serving's for people who are really talented. Testimony's for people who don't have a bad temper like I do, or don't have a potty mouth like I do, or whatever. And you've got a bucket of reasons why everything we've talked about this month is for somebody else. I'm still talking to you this morning. Because you're missing out on the joy of life. You're missing out on the blessing of obedience. You're missing out on testing God and seeing God be faithful. I'm talking to some folks that you're just nervous. You really do think that you ought to follow the Lord. You do think that God will bless you, but you're just nervous. Maybe you're lousy at your finances, or maybe you've blown it, you think, in a situation relationally. Or maybe you just, whatever. And you're just nervous. And you're thinking, man, if I start doing this, my spouse is going to, I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Some of you starting your life, some of you a little closer to the finish line. By the way, none of us knows what that is. I want to talk to you. I want to encourage you this morning. Encourage you. I want to offer you some promises. I want to offer you some promises that I think will be a real help to you. Number one, who's in charge? I want to offer you a few principles here. If you're going to do this, if you want to take that next step, if you want to go from unconvinced to convinced or from nervous to confident, I want to offer this to you. Number one, remember who's in charge. Remember who's in charge. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and all that is therein. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Let me help you. Go from room to room. Look right here. Go from room to room sometime. Go from room to room sometime and just walk around. This belongs to God. This belongs to God. This belongs to God. If you need some help, get a 2 or 3 year old. Let them walk around going, mine, mine, mine. You get the idea there. Some of you got teenagers do the same thing, don't you? And, mine, mine. My daughter borrows another one of Andrea's outfits. We're going to have a fight in our house. You know, Andrea's looking all over the house for something. It's Allison's closet. Allison's like, I think it's mine, you know. And I like 3 year olds in the house and all. Nobody borrows my clothes, by the way. Wrap them around twice, right? Who's in charge? God's in charge. Go around the house. This belongs to the Lord. This belongs to the Lord. This belongs to the Lord. Most of us need to do what? We need to take that crown off our head. We need to put it back at Jesus' feet here. Who's in charge? God is the owner. I am the manager. Write that on the front of your checkbook. Maybe you want to get a sticky note. Put that on your debit card, on your plastic somewhere. Maybe if you use Quicken or your money management software online or whatever, put that on your monitor. God's the owner. I'm the manager. Every time you want to pull the trigger on Amazon, God's the owner and I'm the manager. Whatever that is, belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Our problem is we treat it like it's our stuff, and then God is intruding on us. Number two, if you give and grow. Give and grow, what do you mean here? Luke chapter 12, verse 34. Where your treasure is, finish that for me, there is your heart also. See, the tongue's a tattletale of the heart, but I got news for you. I got news for you. What you love is a tattletale of your heart. I was speaking somewhere last year, 2 years ago now. I was joking. I said if a bunch of aliens came to Earth, they'd walk around North America. They'd think we all were worshiping rectangles. Amen. We'd walk around, you know. It's crazy. People be on vacation looking at their phones. People be at the zoo looking at their phones. I don't know why they went anywhere. Amen. People sit down at supper or dinner at restaurants, and they ignore each other. My favorite is watching them text each other sitting across the table from each other. I don't understand any of that, I think. But anyway, it's funny. When we give and grow, we said that when we do this, our treasure, the Lord says what? Says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, practicing stewardship produces growth. I said it the first Sunday of February. I say it again now. This is a month that you can grow. This is a principle you can grow. Some of you, we'll challenge you tonight. Some of you, I want to encourage you to take on a missionary for $5 a month. Some of you, I want to encourage you to give the full 10%. Some of you, I want to encourage you. You've not been plugged in. You need to find somewhere to be plugged in. Quit waiting for somebody to beg you to do something and step up and step in. Preacher can't do everything, and you don't expect me to do everything, by the way. None of us, you can't have just a few people carrying the whole load. We have so many folks that are connected to this ministry, and we have so many folks that we could minister to. We've got to do this, and part of that is stewardship, that I am committed to God in all the areas, in time and talent and treasure and testimony. God says practicing stewardship will produce the growth. Some say if you'll dedicate your heart and the money will follow. Timothy Johnson said, but our Lord put it the other way around. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Dedicate your treasure. Dedicate your time. Dedicate your talent. And then your heart will follow. Your heart will be dedicated. Let me give you a third principle. Do it now. 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 Wiersbe's got a little cute poem. It says, procrastination is my greatest sin. It brings me endless sorrow. I'm going to stop doing it. Perhaps I'll start tomorrow. Procrastination means putting off, some of you. Yeah. It's too hot in here, isn't it? I knew I should have cut the air on. Procrastination. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Well, I'm going to get this right. 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 If we're not real careful, we'll think God owes me something just because I showed up. I don't know where you are in participation trophies. I like winners and I like losers. Look right at me. Look right at the preacher here. I think you learn a lot from winning, but I think you learn a whole lot from losing. And I think competition helps all of us be better. And I think the Bible talks about that strive for the mastery, they that run in a race. I don't think I have an American position on this. I think I have a biblical position on this. Wait for it. And one of the things that you do is you go, you know, well, I'm not like other people. You know, if I was living in a nice house, or if I had a big job, or if I had that kind of money and all. And when soon as you say that, you're saying, God, I would if you'd been better to me. And God says, I have been good to you, and I expect you to start where you are. Let me help you. Let me help you. I don't know a lot of people. I don't know a lot of people who you think are flush, or you think have all this extra time or whatever. I don't think they got faithful when life got easy. Easy in your eyes, rather. I think they were faithful before life got easy in your eyes, and God has blessed their faithfulness all the way through. I think it's a habit that they have had and developed. I think a young person who's making $100 a week, who is faithful in that $100 a week, I think they'll be faithful when they're making $10,000 a month. I don't think it's the other way around. I don't think they get faithful when they get a whole bunch of money. Somebody say amen to that. You do it now. You do it now. You do it now. Stewardship always deals with our present resources. My last one here. Stewardship always deals with what we've got right now. I want to say more. I'm out of time. Stewardship deals with our present. And then the last one. Remember, you're in debt. Some of you are going, praise Jesus. Finally, one I can agree with. Amen. I'm in debt. Anybody here ever owed anybody anything? Anybody here besides me? Anybody here, you got lots of friends who are at the other end of 800 number? A few of you had those friends? I'm in debt. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Bible says, I am a debtor, both the Jew, the Greek, the barbarian, the wise, the unwise. I am a debtor. Paul understood that he owed people, and he owed God. I think you ought to do the best you can in life to be debt-free. How many of you think that's a worthy goal? I think pay off your bills, pay off your debt, pay off your short-term debt. Excuse me. I think you work to pay off your home, those kind of things. We've worked real hard to that point. I've said it before. There's no way we would have moved. We could have moved here if we had not been financially diligent in some areas. To come here, and that was the Lord's doing, and the reality is, even still to this point, you know, that's been a way we've been able to serve here and minister here, and are thankful for that. Having said that, I'm in debt. We moved here and lived in Carnes. I owe the people in Carnes a debt. Our church is here. We owe the people in Hardin Valley a debt. We owe them the gospel. We owe them the gospel. Look right here. I owe somebody. Spurgeon said, a self-made man is a very poor thing. I'm not self-made, nowhere close. Anything I have is because somebody's been good to me, because God's been good to me. And I owe. I owe people I've never met. I owe people I don't know their names. I am absolutely positively in debt. I said again, I think our debt's to God. All blessings come from Him. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. I'm indebted to God. I want to live my life that way. God, You have been good to me. See, I don't like thinking of that way. I think that's exactly the way the Scripture conveys it to us. God has been better to me than I ever deserved. And if I spend all my life, I could never praise Him enough and never thank Him enough. And my wellspring flows out of the fact that He's been so good to me, and I am always and constantly in His debt. I think there's a debt to others. Debt to the next generation. How am I going to serve them? How am I going to bless them? How am I going to help them? How am I going to see them evangelize? How am I going to see them discipled? How am I going to see this? How am I going to continue to pass this on? Well, this is very simple. See, our giving is what makes us live forever. Our giving is a way to make us live forever. Mark chapter 14, verse 9. There's a woman who's had such an awful life. And Jesus is there. Nobody washes His feet. Nobody offers Him any water. And she comes and she breaks this alabaster box, this porcelain-style box, not porcelain exactly. She would have saved. It might have been a generational thing, just to be honest with you. They estimate somewhere between two-thirds of a year's salary and a year's salary. She has saved. She has sacrificed. This is more than likely hers. This is to be used to her. When she is wrapped up and laid in a tomb, this will be put as a preservative for her. It is her memorial. It is her legacy, if you allow. And she comes in a simple act. She breaks that, anoints His feet, anoints His hair, figures out she doesn't have even a towel, and she takes her long hair and she uses that to daub up the excess. And the disciples look at her in particular and say, this has been wasted. We could have sold this. We could have done all this stuff with it. And Jesus rebukes him. He says, she did this because she loved me. Verse 9 of Mark 14 says something I love. I'm done. As long as this is preached, as long as this story is told, this is going to be a memorial to her. Some of you have been here a while. You built an airstrip in Kenya. You dug two wells. You taught people in Japan about Christ. You sent multiple missionaries, depending on how long you've been here, to Japan. You've helped churches. By the way, you've helped that church planter I was talking about. You've helped that church planter in California. You helped church planter in Utah. You've helped them in Texas. You've helped them. You've helped this church go self-supporting here in the States. You have done this. What you have done will be talked about long after you and I have passed away, if Jesus tarries. In the ages to come, Jesus keeps up with cups of cold water in giving in His name. He has kept up with everything you've ever done for Him, and it will outlive you. One of the things that you can do is you can go buy and charge a cup of coffee for $4 or something and then have to pay that off, or you can invest that in the work of the Lord, and it will live and outlive you for ages and ages to come. You can live forever through your stewardship, your management, your time, your talent, your treasure, and your testimony. Why are you so passionate about this? That's the best investment you'll ever make. Investing your life in the work of God. Investing your time in the work of God. Investing your talent in the work of God. Investing your treasure in the work of God. Because God keeps up with it. And God knows what's going on. And God pays an unbelievable amount of interest. Can I trust God? Can I trust God? Can God trust me? Can God trust me? Can He trust me what He's giving me now in anticipation of future things later? Let me help you. If He can't trust you what He's giving you now, He's not going to trust you with something else later. Can I trust God? We said with thunder last week, we can. I ask you this morning, can God trust you. Would you pray with me right now?